dial the arrows from my past. I had no hope for tomorrow. Felt so much pressure, yes, I thought I would crack. But now there's no looking back. I'm moving forward, cause I know I got my armor now. No fear, no doubt, can't shoot me down, yeah. I got my armor now, no fear, no doubt. Gonna shoot me down, 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 down. My soul is untouchable because you've already won me. My victory is not in this flesh and bone. It's in the cross and I know nobody's taking it from me. I got my armor now, no fear, no doubt, can't shoot me down, yeah. I got my armor now, no fear, no doubt, gonna shoot me down, 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 down.
Good morning. Well, let's get started. Come on in, guys. Let's take a seat. And we are going to get started. If you'll stand with me, we're going to get right into our opening song, which is My Life is in You, Lord. So the worship team is going to come forward real quick. And we're going to get started. So stand with me, if you will.
Good morning. Good to see you all this morning. This song is kind of an older song. It's really peppy, but we don't have any words or anything back there. That will be a big problem.
We need those.
Like, I know the song, but, you know.
Just in case, you know.
You just never know. So this morning, you'll notice that the theme is about hope, you know, because where is our hope? Where does our hope come from? And it comes from God. So this morning we're going to talk a little bit more about that. So we'll go ahead and get started if we get some. Are we good? Okay. Wait a minute. My technical support. You set me up, Nathaniel. Well, you know what? We can talk about, how good and how faithful God is. You can work all week long trying to do something that the Lord wants you to do, and things happen, right? Things kind of get in the way. You know, Satan tries to block what you're going to do. But, you know, God's word and his way always perseveres and, you know, makes it through. So, you got something, Marty?
He got some praise.
Yeah. Okay, Artie's got praise.
Well, I got my permit.
So oh, yes, he did.
Y'all got to get off the road because Artie's coming through.
Yes. With me. Yay! Pray for me.
I'm driving Miss Carla.
That's yep. Right, Miss Daisy. Oh, goodness.
We have a little tech support. You guys can go ahead and have a seat. Does anybody else have any testimony or any praise this morning? Well, I have a little testimony and a little praise. I guess it's a big praise, but so you all know that last week we had a really awesome service. It was about, you know, faith, and that we're getting ready to start on a new faith journey because Luke is going to go into the military to be a Marine. Well, he went on Monday to be sworn in, and he didn't pass the eye part. So they're going to send him to an Army doctor, and they're going to see what they can do with his eyesight, you know. And I just told Luke, I said, you know what? I said, this is my prayer, that if it is not going to be safe for you to go, that, you know, that I pray that God will not let you go. Mm-hmm. And that's where my hope is. My hope is in the Lord, because that's where all of our hope should be. Mm-hmm. So if you would, you can go ahead and stand up, and we're going to sing. Oh, okay. No, we're not. We're going to Misty. Okay. Thanks, tech support. Listen, y'all will probably be getting out early today.
I've been running through rain that I thought would never end, trying to make it on faith in the struggle against the wind. I've seen the dark and the broken places, oh, but I know in my soul no matter how bad it gets, I'll be all right. There's hope in front of me. There's a light, I still see it. There's a hand still holding me. Even when I don't believe it, I might be down, but I'm not dead. There's better days still up ahead. Even after all I've seen, there's hope in front of me. At the end of the storm you finally find, where the hurt and the tears and the pain all fall behind. You open up your eyes and up ahead there's a big sun shining. Right then and there you realize you'll be alright. There's hope in front of me. There's a light, I still see it. There's a hand still holding me. Even when I don't believe it, I might be down, but I'm not dead. There's better days still up ahead. Even after all I've seen, there's hope in front of me.
don't seek fame. All I need is to believe in your name.
I don't seek treasures that soon will be gone. But you died for me once, and I know this is true. So with all of my life, I'm living for you.
Our God, and all will see how great.
Hi, good morning. So I thought I'd give Pastor Nathaniel a break and fill the pulpit, but I felt like, you know, God, what is it that, you know, you've given me that you want others to know? And I feel like it was hope. You know, God has given me hope when I didn't have any hope. And I'm going to share a little bit about that. Well, I guess I'll just put this here. And have you ever had friends that have just raved so much about, that have raved so much about TV series? Like, oh, The Walking Dead's coming on, and, you know, Friends, or, you know, back in the day when it was my era, that would have been 90210, okay? And, you know, have you ever just watched something and you thought, oh my gosh, they're in such a horrible mess. How will they ever get out of this? Or some of you might watch The Bachelor, Bachelorette, you know. How they gonna get out of it, right? You know, because sometimes in life, our circumstances can seem so hopeless. And maybe, you know, a series or a TV show that we've watched maybe didn't turn out the way we thought it was, because, you know, I was done after really watching Walking Dead after Herschel died. Like, it just, you just can't kill Grandpa kind of thing. So, you know, just different things. And then there's some that you watch, and I know at one point in time, I remember everybody was raving about Breaking Bad. And I'm like, Pastor Nathaniel says, I'm not watching that crap. And, you know, and the thing is, because, you know, you watch it, and you're just seeing the promo for what's really, you know, what leads up to it, and it's like a slow start. So it's kind of like not what you want to see, so you just kind of lose interest, right? So you just kind of give it up. Well, then if you give it a little time, you know, maybe it gets better. In some instances, shows get better, right? And then sometimes they don't. Well, that's kind of like our life, right? You know, will life ever get better? You know, and sometimes our lives have made us feel that way. I know I've questioned it more than once, more than twice. I mean, And especially when I was younger, it just seemed like one thing after another, like, will my life ever get better? So that's the question that we're going to talk about today. So maybe you feel like that in your life at this point. You know, a lot of dark chapter in your life, you know, because life is about chapters. Some are good, some are happy, some are ugly, and some have lots of mountains with rugged edges, and they hurt. So do you feel like you're the only one who feels like this? Well, you're not. And we're going to talk about Psalms 88, 6 through 13. I've asked Artie if he would read it. Wow. And all of God's people said, what? What? This isn't the Bible? I mean, honestly, you know, if I were having a bad day and I read that, I would have been like, yep, this is it. Like, this is just it. Because, you know, why would God put something so dark in the Bible? You know, God's holy, perfect word. Why would he put that in the Bible? You know why? Because he knew you and you and me. We would all feel like that at times. He knew. You know? When you're going through dark times, he knows. He knows what we're going through. That's it. That was that whole chapter. He read that whole chapter. Not one verse was missing. Every single part of it was there. And, you know, God chose to include that into the Bible because he wanted us to know that even back as long as, you know, the Bible had been written, that people faced times like this, right? It wasn't just for them. It was for us now. So we don't know the specific situation that the psalmist was in when he actually was writing this, but we can definitely tell that he felt personal betrayal, because in verse 18 he says, friends and neighbors has deserted me. I'm thinking desserts already. It's not even lunchtime. Yeah, ice cream. But I have become repulsive to my closest friends. Have you ever felt that way before? Where you just felt like your closest friends, you just felt repulsive to them, they were just annoyed being around you. Like, what happened? What happened to me that made me feel like that? Well, I know that I had felt that way at one point in time. I had felt that way shortly after my dad, we had left my dad. And we had faced every abuse imaginable, so my mom and us decided to leave. And but it seemed like at that point in time, that was literally the darkest. That was the first time I ever really felt darkness. Like, I don't even know what's going to happen after children's services today. And I didn't know. But I can tell you that I felt like my whole family on my dad's side was completely against us. All the friends that we knew, because see, on the outside, everything looked good, right? It was happy. I was always smiling. Everybody was smiling in my family. My family worked in the community kind of thing, and it was just kind of a shock to everyone. But I felt like everyone was against me. Like, I had no one. Me and my little sister, and I didn't even really felt like I had my mom. I had started a new school at that time. And not only did I start a new school, I had no friends at that school. And so here I am, 17 years old, starting a brand new school. It was culture shock. You know, you go from this itty-bitty school to a nice, huge school with hundreds of people graduating in one class when we had 71 people that we graduated with. And these were hundreds of people graduating, so... But God worked things out there. But at that point in time, I just felt so alone and deserted. But what about you? Have you ever had a spouse that, you know, neglected you or turned their back on you? Or maybe you'd been torpedoed at work or backstabbed by your best friend. Or maybe your in-laws. You know, it's everywhere you go, you can face some kind of friction like this. And maybe it's not so much betrayal, but maybe neglect. Maybe you're getting a cold shoulder at work or at home or wherever it may be. But you know, the psalmist wrote about this because these are things that we feel. You know, these are people that are writing and God is inspiring into the word. So we know that this psalmist, he also was in chronic pain because he says, "From my youth I have suffered. Fortunately, most of my pain had an ending point in sight." But what happens when there is no hope in sight? Well, what happens when we're completely in despair? I've read that whenever somebody has experienced an avalanche, like there's an avalanche, you know, and all the snow is compiled over the person, at that point in time, they have so much pressure, just like we do in life, right? There's so much pressure, and you don't know how to dig out. You don't know how to get out. It could be debt. It could be addiction. It could be anything. But sometimes that's how we feel. We feel so pressured that we just feel like we can't get out. But that's how the psalmist feels. He says, "I don't even know where to start." He had given up on the situation to be changed. You know, he's like, "I pray day in and day out. Your anger weighs me down. You know, you did this and you did that, you know." And I know that at one point in time he says, "God, I have given up on the situation to be changed. I'm not even sure that you can change it anymore." And sometimes we feel that way. Maybe we feel like, "God, my relationship is too far gone," or "my bills are just drowning me," or, you know, and there's just no way to make it better. You know, and whenever we think that way, we're just wanting an instant fix, right? We want God to just snap his fingers and everything is going to be fine. And it doesn't work out like that, okay? So we can pray and we can hope all we want. But if we're not making decisions to make that come forth, you know, God's going to give us a way for things to happen. Exactly. And hope is the same way. Hope is the same exact way. So basically what I'm saying is, you know, we can pray all day long and hope that things will change. But if they don't, you know, if we don't do anything about it, what are we doing? We're staying in that same hopeless situation. So anyways, what about an illness? What about your body? What if your body is in a state where you can't change it? You know, you're at that point where you're just like, you know, "I give up. Like, the damage is already done. I can't do anything to fix it," kind of thing. What about a career? Or maybe your reputation. You know, if somebody lies about you or says something, your reputation is completely changed, right? And there's no coming back at that point. You just feel like hopeless, right? But then there's something else. There's loneliness. See, when I've talked to people that have been through immense pain and intense pain or horrible situations, the worst part for them is being lonely, feeling like they have no one to talk to. But all along, there's people. They just forget that they're there. And God's the same way. All along, God is always there. He never leaves us. But what happens? We forget who to go to. So most people say that the worst part of being lonely is being lonely because people who have lost loved ones can't even imagine what they're going through if they haven't gone through it themselves. And even the psalmist feels like even God can't understand, because he's talking about if anything, that God was against him. He keeps saying, Lord, you did this. And have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like, God, this is your fault? I remember feeling that way. And it's not a good thing to feel that way. But I remember feeling that way, you know, when I wanted help for my dad and I prayed about it. And, you know, when I went to children's services, I didn't think that, you know, I'd never get to go back home. I wasn't thinking that. I was thinking dad's going to get counseling and we're not going to get abused and we're still going to be this happy little family. You know, I didn't think about, you know, we would be moving to a new school. I didn't think about a couple of months later he'd be killing himself. I didn't think about those things. But you know what? Those things that I felt helpless about, God gave me strength. He gave me hope. And sometimes when I was without hope, I felt in despair. And see, in verse, I remember feeling that the Lord is going to, I just remember just saying, Lord, I'm just going to stop praying to you, because everything I pray about, the opposite happens. And I'm so hurt. And I just felt that helpless, because I was wanting what I wanted and God seen the big picture. So verse 17 summarizes the psalmist. I'm in despair. Despair means not only am I in pain, but I have no hope that anything will ever get any better. So Marcus, if you will read chapter 89. All right. So at the very end, you know, he's saying, O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty as you are, O Lord, your faithfulness all around you. You rule the raging of the sea. When the waves rise, you still them. You see, everything around me felt like it was a complete storm. Complete storm. There was not one even speck of peace in my life. You know, I was going to church somewhere before my dad passed away, and I didn't go to church anymore because, one, I was mad at God. And I don't know if you've ever been mad at God, but God always wins. So I was doing no service to myself, okay? And I didn't go back to church because I didn't want people asking me questions, because at that point it was too hurtful. And we can all relate to something that's too painful to talk about, right? Well, the awesome part about Psalms 89 is it's followed by 88, which 88 was nothing but despair. But the next one talks about how he knows the waves and he stills them. He calms them, right? He can calm the storm with his hand. He can calm it with a word, right? So it almost seems like it's almost like bipolar in a sense, you know, like God puts something so despairing in one, and then the next one it's like, oh, happy, joy, joy, right? Right. But it's an enigma, okay? A person or a thing that is mysterious, puzzling, or even difficult to understand. That's our life, right? That's our life. That's really how our life is. And in Psalms 89, it assures you that he rules the raging sea. And, you know, I love to hear the waves. Like when we were on the cruise, it was so neat because you hear the waves, you hear nothing else, you see complete darkness, and, you know, it's just, it's a calming peace. But when you're in the middle of a storm and you feel like there's no way out, where's your hope going to come from? We're out in the middle of this boat and it's like this number, you know, and I hadn't experienced seasickness until like that third day, and it was like a little bit much for me. But and I'm like, well, God, you can just calm the sea, because you calm the seas in me too. And I can remember specifically praying one day on at work. I was just like, it just seemed like everything was kind of crazy. You're torpedoed at work. Everything's coming at you, and you can't get enough done. You know, you're just like, I'm doing the best that I can. And I was like, God, if you can calm a raging sea, you can calm that storm in me. And he does. He does it. If you ask him to do it, he does it without even thinking. So he goes on to say, there is no power coming from any direction that will not turn into God's plan for his life. So anything that's coming towards you or anything you've been through, God is going to use that for his glory in your life. But it's up to you to what? To walk in that direction. You know, I was listening to some sermons this week because, you know, that's how I do my devotionals. I listen on my little headphones while I'm at work. And I was listening to the sermon and it made such great sense. And I think it really goes well with hope, because hope is looking forward. Right? Where did God put our eyes? In the front of our heads. Even though I'm a mom, I still got eyes in the back of my head. But God placed them in the front of my face, right? Because he wanted me to look forward. Now, what about your feet? Your feet aren't backwards. So where does God want you to go? Forward. So what decisions are we going to make? The ones that are going to bring us forward. Not the ones that are going to take us back to where the hopelessness and despair and the sorrow and the sadness, right? God don't want me to look at all that stuff and feel shameful and guilty. You know, when you're past that, you go on. You move forward, right? We're changed people. God changes people. And that's exactly where hope comes from. God is the God of hope, and he changes people. He wants you to walk in that right direction, moving forward into him, counting on him. You see, one thing that I've learned through all of this, he controls the enemy that's against me. I've seen that. I've seen him control the enemy that's against me, and nothing prospers when that happens, because you know what? If it's against God, it's against anything, right? And we know who wins. So nothing falls outside of God's control, through which his steadfast love and faithfulness are working together for your good and the purpose that he has for his people. He will not break his covenant, and he will not take back one single thing that he said. Isn't that awesome? So everything that's in the word is pure truth. See, God is a promise maker. He's not a promise breaker. He can't. Everything he says in the Bible is truth, and he can't lie. So what's that say? Where should our hope be? In God. Amen. So you see God's steadfast love is not always immediately apparent to us. Seriously, if you would have told me that when I lost my dad, I would be sharing at the same place where he had messed with me. You see, the camp that we have is the same place that I grew up, where things happened to me. But you know what? God is a good God, and what he has done is he brought happiness into my life there. I don't live there anymore. I'm not who I was there. but God has allowed me to share and to love on kids and give them hope out of something that I felt hopeless. So God also uses us, like when we go through things, like when we lost Zachary. I didn't know that a few years ago that my cousin would also lose not one, but two of her children in a fatal car accident. And when we went to the candlelight vigil, she says, "How? How do you go on? How can you go on? I'm hopeless. I have nothing. I don't even know how to go on." And I wouldn't be able to give her that support and love that she needed had I not been through it myself. And, you know, no one can look into an eye of a brokenhearted mom without knowing what it's like, you know, and truly feel that pain. Because that's what happens. You know, God uses these circumstances that you've been through, whether it's a divorce, whether it's losing a child or a suicide or an overdose or an addiction, or, you know, the list goes on. Whatever you've been through, God's going to use your story. He's going to use you. He's going to use everything within you because he's instilled you with it. You see, God's already equipped you with everything. The day you were born, and you accepted Christ, he says, be ready. I'm going to use you. See, we have a tendency. Let me go to my little illustration here. Because, isn't this cute? It's a little hedgehog. At first I thought it was a porcupine, which I was going to use, you know, but then Carla's like, no, that's a hedgehog. So, you know what, even cuter. But if it were a porcupine, we could use that as an illustration in the fact that, you know, sometimes life pokes us and it hurts, right? So we have the dark times in our life, and we have the not so dark times, and then we have the light times. But they can't all be just one color. What kind of puzzle would it be if they were all one color? It wouldn't be very pretty, would it? It wouldn't be beautiful. It wouldn't be a thing called life, right? But together, each piece makes up something beautiful. Eventually, yeah, right. And if you feel like you have a piece missing, that piece just might be God. That piece might be hope. Okay? So would someone, Nathaniel, will you read Romans 8:28? Did you know hey, where are you going, Marcus? It's not lunchtime yet. Get back. Yeah, Romans 8:28. That's right. You see, we all have a tendency to judge God's love for us by our circumstances and what we go through. Have you ever thought of that? Like, I must be doing something wrong because, you know, maybe I was a bad mom because my son wants to be in the military now. You know, like, trust me, Satan is trying to mess with my brain. Like, why does Luke just want to throw himself to the lions? You know, I mean, I really struggled with that. I did. But then I'm reminded that my hope comes from the Lord. And that is my hope that no matter what my kids do, that he is the center of everything for me and for them, and that their hope comes from him just as well as it does for me. So sometimes, you know, when we're going through hard times and stuff, when things are good, we think we're just walking in light. Everything is good. You know, we must be doing everything right, but not always necessarily, you know, because thieves don't break into an empty house, right? So basically what that's saying is, hey, if you're being attacked right now, be happy. Be happy because the pain you're going through can't compare to the joy that's coming. And, you know, and the awesome part about that is that Paul compares it to the experience of a mother after giving childbirth. There is no pain. I don't care who you are. There is no pain like having a baby. Woo! Lord, dang it, Adam. People would say it's Eve, but it's Adam and Eve. So, but it's all that pain comes from childbirth because of sin, right? But it said pain was swallowed up in joy. Because you know what? There is no joy like holding your first baby. There's just not. There is just this feeling. There's just not. It's like a pure love. And you know, and the thing too is like when you're pregnant and you just hope that this baby comes out okay, you know, there's different hopes in life. But you know, when we put our hope in God, we can see that God sees the big picture. He knows what we're going through now. He knows each piece that takes us to make this whole picture. There's a time coming, Paul says, when the pain of this earth will seem strangely insignificant to the light of the glory that is about to come through Christ Jesus. That's true, right? We all have what hope? Here, if we're here, why are we here? Because we have that hope of what? We have the hope of heaven. We have the hope of Christ coming back and saving us from this life, right? Right? Can I get an amen? Because that is good. Because that's why we're here. That's what unites us. And the heart and the hope and the faith and everything, it unites us. So whether you've been through a divorce, you know, that divorce taught you to depend on God or yourself more than someone else. What about a death? I know the death of my dad made me refocus my life back on God. And especially when we lost Zachary, because you know what? I want to see that beautiful face someday. And the time that you spent in prison or jail or wherever, you know, you guys were able to focus on God far more than I could because I'm busy all the time. But you may even know more scripture than me. But that doesn't mean that I'm any less capable of sharing God's hope than you are. See, God has a purpose for everyone. And see, just like each and every instance that happens in your life, each of you are a puzzle piece here. Everybody belongs. There's not one piece that's any brighter or better than the other. Each piece belongs. And we have this hope that God will use each and every one of us. But the thing is, faith without action. Exactly. So I come across this quote, and it says, if you can trust a puzzle company to make sure every piece is in the box completely to complete a puzzle, then why can't you trust God in every piece of your life is there for a reason? And see, that made total sense to me. Like, why did I have to go through this? Well, why did I have to go through that? And you know, I only share a couple pieces because they're the hardest parts of my life. There are a lot more. But, you know, God is using every single piece for his glory. And he has given me hope. And I hope that you guys also feel that same hope, you know, that I've experienced through Christ. So if you would, if you all just stand with us, we're going to close with, this was a good one. I lift my eyes, because where does my help come from? This is in the Bible, Psalms 121, 1 through 2. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord. You see, we can have people on earth help us like little angels and stuff, but where does the ultimate gift come from in the help? It all comes from the Lord. So we're going to sing, in the eye of a storm. Because, you know, in many times we feel like we're in that eye of the storm. And, you know, and he talks about he's still in control. And so if you sing that and just give it all to God, if you want us to pray with you, we'd be happy to pray with you at the altar, or even if you want to speak to us afterwards. So thank you all.
In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. And in the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. When the solid ground is falling out from underneath my feet, between the black skies and my red eyes, I can barely see. When I realize I've been sold out by my friends and my family, I can feel the rain reminding me. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me. Far from me, and I'm running out of faith. I see the future I picture slowly fade away. And when the tears of pain and heartache are pouring down my face, I find my peace in Jesus' name. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, my soul, you alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. And the doctor says I've only got a few months left. It's like a bitter pill I'm swallowing. I can barely take a breath. And when addiction steals my baby girl and there's nothing I can do, my only hope is to trust you. I trust you, Lord. In the eye of the storm, you alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. You remain in control in the middle of the war. You guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me.
My hope is gone, Lord.
When my flesh is failing, you're still holding.